Well, what a difference one day makes, huh? May 17th, 1986 was the day I met him. Does it get any better than this? I mean, if you're saved today, I'm saved and I'm in Florida this morning. Ooh, let's get John 19. You know, I remember I came up in a somewhat religious home, you know, up there in the Northland, and we did all the Easter thing and all that. And I'll have you know, I remember that first Easter, forgive me if Resurrection Sunday, whatever. We called it Easter before we got saved. And I remember that first Easter, man, was it different. I knew what it was all about. And I want you to know I've left the secular side of what the world calls Easter behind, except for Reese's peanut butter eggs, man. So you pray for me. Man, and you know, I'm always on a diet. Most heavy people are. And my mother used to say, I said, Ma, you're on a diet. How come you're so big? She'd say, imagine if I wasn't on a diet, how big I'd be. But this time of year is just a killer for me because, you know, I start every day good and I get to church. They bring me these 1-pound peanut butter eggs and I'll eat it in one sitting. And so Lord help us. John 19. We're in a Bible-believing church this morning, right? So we can preach the Bible a little bit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus today, and I just pray you'd be with us. Lord, I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad you rose from the dead. I'm glad you're not still on a cross. Lord, I pray you bless your people this morning. I want to help. I don't want to hurt. And may you reveal, Lord, your truth through me. Help me to hide behind the cross. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. John chapter 19, verse 36. We'll look at a little Bible, and then we'll get to preaching here. John chapter 19, verse 36. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another Scripture saith, they shall look upon whom they have pierced. Now watch now. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He said, go ahead, you could take it. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? He came secretly by night. And then the next time he sort of stood up to the Pharisees, and this time it looks like he got the goods, amen? Also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices. That's important, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, a new sepulchre where never a man was yet laid. And they laid Jesus. Therefore, being of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Matthew 27. So you got Joseph of Arimathea, you got Nicodemus, I'll just call him Joe and Nick for short, we call things for short up there, and they anointed and wrapped the body of Jesus, all right, Matthew 27. Verse 55. And many women were there beholding afar off, Matthew 27:55. Which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, so the Holy Spirit's tying this to that passage in John 19, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate, same scene, and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, there it is, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Watch. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. So you've got two different angles of when the Lord was crucified, they begged the body of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, Mary and the other women. They anointed the body of Jesus. They wrapped the body of Jesus. They put the body of Jesus in the tomb, set him in a tomb. He's anointed, He's wrapped. And now let's look at the angles of the Gospels. Interesting, it's all verses 1 through 6. Let's start in Matthew 28. Let's just sit in the tub of God and soak a little bit. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath. How's that for wording? So much for seventh-day disadvantages, huh? Sabbath is over. We don't meet to celebrate the sign between God and the nation of Israel and the creation. We come as the church to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, you better believe it, toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay." Mark chapter 16, 1 to 6. Mark chapter 16. 1 to 6. I even believe the numbers are inspired. Mark 16, 1 to 6. "And when the Sabbath was passed, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, and very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre," look at that, "at the rising of the sun." Isn't that a quinkadinky? The rising of the sun. "And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him." And then lastly, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Glad you got a Bible this morning. You got more than CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and all that other junk. Ain't you glad you got some truth this morning? I'm saved and I get Reese's peanut butter eggs. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And for sake of time, you know the rest of the story." Now, when I piece together what Mary and the others were doing, I can piece together what they were thinking. And that's what I see a wonderful picture in this morning of what God does in people's lives through salvation in Jesus Christ. And it's exactly a picture of what God did in my life 31 years ago, about 4 weeks from now. See, their hopes and dreams of a coming Messiah, freeing them from Roman oppression, were shattered at the end of a Roman spear and on an old rugged cross. And listen, here's the way it worked. You got Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, they take the body, Mary and the others, they come, they anoint him. They wrap him. They place him in the tomb. The stone gets placed. It's over. He's dead. Watch it. He's already been anointed. He's already been wrapped up. The tomb is sealed. And we remember from the Gospels, whenever Jesus brought up the rising of the dead, they questioned among themselves what the rising of the dead should mean. So they're not coming to the tomb to find an empty Savior like He promised. Isn't that what dead people do? They visit the dead at the tomb. She was crying at the tomb. And remember the gardener was there. We know who the gardener was. And the gardener said, "Well, you know, why are you weeping? They took my Lord away and we know not where they had laid him." In their minds, Jesus Christ was dead. Finished. It's over. It's done. And that's what the world does. You go to the graveyard and the best you can do is try to muster up some solace and some comfort, but really, they're still dead. And with God's help on this resurrection morning, I'd like to paint a picture of this scene for you that God painted for me. Who are they? They're living people. Mary, Nicodemus, Joseph, the others. Where are they? They're at a dead man's tomb. Number one, this world is a spiritual graveyard. You say, preacher, how could you say this world is a spiritual graveyard? Because of what you find in a graveyard. Death and dead men. You know what the Bible says? That wherefore as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered in the world and death by sin. So then death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible says when Christ came, it says, they which sat in the region and shadow of death. But wait a minute, they were alive when they were sitting. Yeah, but he said it was the region and shadow of death. The Apostle Paul, when speaking of the ungodly widows that became widows at a young age, he said, they that live in pleasure are dead while they live. Living, breathing, talking, eating, sleeping, drinking, coming, going, dead men. Jesus really put the capstone on this thought when a young man was going to follow him. He said, I can't follow you until I go bury my father. Let me go bury my father. And Jesus, looking at a living man, said, let the dead bury their dead. That tells me that the guy in the casket is not the only dead one. We're talking spiritual. So you know what that tells me? That you don't have to go to Redbox or Family Video or Netflix or YouTube to see Dawn of the Living Dead or Night of the Living Dead or Zombie This, where these dead people are coming to life. Just go down to Popeyes or Churches or Kroger's or Piggly Wiggly or a lot of churches. I'm telling you, this world's a graveyard. A graveyard. Death at every turn. And I haven't even mentioned physical death. Bro, they're dying in the hospitals. They're dying. Isn't this encouraging on Easter morning? They're dying in the cribs. They're dying in the crack houses. They're dying in the World Trade Center. They're dying in the wars. They're dying slow. They're dying fast. They're dying old. And they're dying young. You know where Mary and the others are? Right in the middle. We're sitting. Yep. Right in the middle of it. That's where they are, in a dead man's tomb. What are they attempting to do? Same thing the world always tempted to do. Spice up death. Joseph and Nicodemus already did it once. He's already wrapped up. After burying Jesus and anointing Jesus and wrapping up Jesus, then they're going to rest on the Sabbath. And then on that Sabbath, I think they might have been breaking the Old Testament. It says they prepared spices and ointments. They brought spices, sweet spices, that they might come and anoint Him. You say, well, preacher, they're coming and looking for a risen Savior. Not with embalming spices, they're not. They're coming looking for the best that they can do with a dead man. It's the third day. One of these women here that's bringing the spices, that's the same one that said, our brother's been dead for 4 days. Behold, he stinketh. So their plan, in their desperation, is all they know to do. And it's all the world knows to do this morning, is try to spice up death. And that reminds me of my life 31 years ago. It reminds me of this world. The best that I could do was spice up death before I knew Jesus Christ as Savior. You talk about depression. You talk about futile. Trying to spice up death is like eating ragu spaghetti sauce. Now forgive me, no offense here. I mean, I couldn't do nothing with your corned beef and cabbage either. But my culture, where we come from, you don't eat sauce out of the jar. You got to make it from scratch. So ragu and prego and mamma mia's and all that, and you know that you get up, that's a no-no with us. But every once in a while, you know, some poor soul will come along and say, "Well, Brother Camilleri, Camarillo, Calamari, you know, my wife gets the ragu and she spices it up." There's only one problem. It's still ragu. There's certain things that you cannot change by spicing it up. Jarred spaghetti sauce and death. Now don't think me weird. I like praying in graveyards. It just, you need to. You need to take a walk through a graveyard and just pray, and it just teach you the brevity of life. It'll just teach you to number your days. My pastor used to say, your life is nothing more than a dash between two dates on a tombstone. And brother, it doesn't matter. Some of them died at 90 years. Some of them died at 9 hours, 9 days. Just a little dash, broken over, forgotten. You can't even read what it says. Graveyards. Death. But you know what they try to do in graveyards? Same thing these disciples were trying to do. Same thing the world does. They try to spice up death a little bit. It starts with embalming. Embalming. Death stinks. You know what that dragon breath you had this morning when you woke up is a reminder of? We keep international students in our home. We've got a big ministry up there. And man, some of these kids come from around the world. They don't have foo-foo over there. They don't have Fido either in the house. They might have them on the plate. And this girl said to us, our friend, she said, "Mama Nikki, I want..." I said, "Amen." You know what your husband's socks are a reminder of? Death stinks. You realize what you had to do this morning to not be just vulgar and just smelly? All you had to do, and within 24 hours, if you didn't do nothing, we couldn't stand to be around each other. You see, that's what embalming is. To preserve a corpse from decay. Why? They're dead. Originally with spices, and now usually by arterial injection of a preservative, like a cookie or a potato chip or a Twinkie. Then they put a nice suit of clothes on them, and they put a little lace pillow, and I don't know why they put clothes on them. It wouldn't be real comely to have a naked guy in a casket, but if you're going to hell, you ain't going to need him there. You're going to be naked as a worm. And if you're going to heaven, you have a robe. You won't need it there. I looked around this morning here. Some of y'all sisters could use a robe, amen, but we won't go there. I'll save that for Brother Jim back there. He's like, "Yeah." What are they doing with death? Trying to spice it up. Trying to spice it up. Because death stinks. Death's dark. Those people that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. It says, light shined out of darkness. Jesus spoke of whiting the sepulcher. Why? They're trying to undo the darkness within the best they know how. He talked of garnishing the sepulcher of the righteous. You know, like a relish tray. Flowers and gardens. I mean, really, cemeteries are some of the most beautiful gardens you ever seen. I pray in the Staten Island Cemetery, New York City, Brother Beach's church. You want to talk about money. You know, here lies Gambino, Gotti, Genovese, you know, good father, friend, yeah, if you're on the right side. You talk about some sepulchers. Woo! I mean, like houses with pillars and marble. Now they got solar lights. I got a little place I pray once in a while up the road from us. You go by there at night, there's all these lights. What are those lights? I pray in there one day. It's solar lights. They suck the light from the sun during the day. Yeah, but they're all dead. What are they trying to do? Light up darkness. Spice up death. You know what I was doing 30 years ago? Trying to spice up life in a graveyard. We go in them dark nightclubs, you know, with the silver ball spinning and all that foo-foo, and we'd have some spirits in our hand, and Man, we thought we were living. I wanted to live. I wanted excitement. You know what we felt like the next morning? Death. How you doing, man? I'm dying. I tried the spice of education. And my dad says, son, you got to go get some degrees. They're hiring with this associates in applied science and industrial instrumentation, and get a business degree along with it. And I did, and I landed the dream job. In our city, it was Eastman Kodak. 60,000 employees. You got there, you were there for life. And I got there as a lost man. I wasn't there 3 weeks. And I said, is this all it is? Looking at these old men with their little watch and leaving. And I say, is this what I'm going to do? I'm going to work here for 40 years, get a gold watch, go to Florida, play shuffleboard, and die. I tried the spice of religion. I can still remember the prayers. Close, but not the sinner's prayer. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned through my own faults, in my thoughts and in my words, and what I have done and what I have failed to do. And I ask Blessed Mary, ever virgin, and all the angels and saints, and to you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. And you know what I was? I walked in and I walked out like I walked in dead. You ever, my mother-in-law, they all got high blood pressure, so they don't use no salt. My, you got to put some salt. No, salt's bad. You salt it yourself, but it ain't the same when you salt it yourself. But you ever salt something and it just sucks the salt and you got to keep seasoning it? That's religion this morning. I tried the spice of entertainment. Spring break. Whippy-doo. 7 years. Spring break. And I can remember as a young man, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, Daytona Beach, Fort Lauderdale Beach, Myrtle Beach, just walking on the beach just saying, this ain't nothing. This ain't satisfying me. Go to the movies and go to the concerts and go to the carnivals, here a thrill, there a spill, everywhere a thrill and a spill. Still death. Spice of possessions. Surely I'll get me a nice wife and a little house in the suburbs. Man, my wife was knocking down. She went to Catholic college and got a master's in education. And man, I had 2 degrees and I was making money and she was making money. And we had a home, a nice ranch in the suburbs, and I put a little deck. This is the way they do it. You put a deck out there, right? But then you want to sit out there in the rain, so you put a roof over it. But then you want to sit out there at night with the bugs, so you drop the screens. And then you want to sit out there in the colder months, so you insulate it. And then what do? You build another deck. And we got basements up there. And you know the Italians, we love finished basements. We save the living room and the kitchen, all that upstairs for the next people that are going to move in. And they say, come on in, come on, 6 feet under. You're everything but dead. And man, I had a nice wood stove down there and carpeted and paneling. And we put a swimming pool in the backyard and I had a nice garden. And just about that time, we got a boat and a trailer to get away from it every weekend. Driving the big Lincoln Continental and hunting and traveling and religion and education and possessions and entertainment. Paul said this about the law. That which was ordained to be life, I found to be death. And all I could do was try to spice it up. But you know you can't spice up death. And that's what Mary and the others were trying to do. And just about the time I was ready to succumb to this fact that the best this life could offer was to spice up death, I beheld an odd sight. And I worked in the dark. Eastman Kodak, that's where they make film. Now, you young kids, ask your parents what that is. You know what Mary and them saw in that tomb? Well, Matthew said an angel of the Lord a countenance was like a lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. Mark said a young man, every time an angel is in this dimension, it appears as a man, a young man in a long white garment. Luke said two men stood in shining garments. John said two angels in white. In the Gospel of Joe Camilleri said, J-folk. I was walking around this graveyard, Brother Tim, in the pit of Eastman Kodak, May 1986, and man, I seen something that didn't belong in a graveyard. I seen someone that was peculiar, someone that was bright, someone that was different, someone who, to me, shone like the sun before he opened his mouth. You say, what did he say? When he did open his mouth, he said the same thing they'd been saying for 2,000 years in the graveyard. You're barking up the wrong tree, pal. The answer's not down here. It's up there. Yeah. You know what he saw? He saw a young man sitting at the table of death with a bunch of spices. I don't know a lot. I know a little bit about God and a lot about food. And one thing I know is the spices ain't the meal. And you know what this world's doing this morning? They're looking for the meal in the spices, but the spice don't satisfy. I was sitting at the table of death, and there was cinnamon, and there was garlic, and there was onion. You say, preacher, it says sweet spices to the Italian, the garlic, and the onions, and the basil, and the oregano. Those are sweet spices. Can you imagine if you sit here seeing me eating a thing of cinnamon? That's exactly what this world is doing this morning. Trying to spice up death. You know what my friend did? That messenger did in May of 1986. He pointed me to that gardener we read about in the gospel. He said, let me show you a banqueting table. There's a restaurant up by us, and it's in St. Catharines, Ontario. It's about 70 miles. We go there 2 to 3 times a year. Now, it's a Chinese restaurant, but don't be fooled. Crab legs, big as 2 thumbs, all you can eat. $25 American. Every crab leg, they split them, so you just go... You split it, you twist. Man, it's like a toilet paper tube coming out of there. I like putting it in a bowl of butter like pasta and just keep filling it up and then just eat it like soup. All the prime rib, all the beef ribs, all the fish, everything you can eat. And J. Folk, 31 years ago, saw me sitting there eating spices. And he said, let me show you a banqueting table. And of all places, 1986, I was in a 1971, that was the Stone Age, Chevy pickup, driving down Lake Avenue in Rochester, New York, across from the, listen, Holy Sepulchre Cemetery. There's no such thing as a Holy Sepulchre outside of that one. And it's empty. And I said the wrong words. I prayed the wrong prayer. But God didn't hear the words of my mouth. He saw my heart. You know what happened to Mary when she thought he was the gardener because he was? That was the one that planted the garden back in Genesis. She had scales. She had religion, just like me. And just couldn't see it all. And Jesus said one word. Mary. And then she said one word. Rabboni. And the blinders came off. That's what you call bingo. And not through an audible voice, but through this word, 1986, Jesus Christ said, Joe. And if you're here and all the best you can find yourself doing is just trying to spice it up. Oh, just once I get this next spice, once I land this new job, once I divorce this hobo and get to marry the next hobo, once I get the next girlfriend, once I get the next outfit, once I get the next church, once I get the next this, once I get the next, I'm telling you, you're trying to spice up that. Life comes in a person. The bread of life comes in a person this morning. His name is Jesus Christ. And you know what He's doing? He's calling you by name. And you know how your soul gets saved? You believe that He died, was buried, rose again, forget about the spices, and then you call Him by name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just don't be let it be said too late. I got a feeling somewhere buried in Palestine under the rocks and rubble is a bag of spices and some ointment that they left at the tomb that day. You say, preacher, you think they left those spices? What do they need them for? He ain't dead. Preacher, where's your religion today? Where's your entertainment today? Where's all those spices that you hoped in, preacher? I left them at the tomb. See, the world misreads us. Oh, you Christians, you can't have no spices. You can't drink. I read over there in the Song of Solomon about a love that's better than wine. And His ointment better than spices. Oh, you Christians are so pushy. That's because we're eating ribeye and turkey and salmon and sushi and brisket. And you're sucking on a bottle of garlic powder. We want you to be saved. Jesus is calling your name this morning. We're not talking about joining a church or dunking you in a tank of water. And I'm telling you, it's been 31 years next month. And I'm grateful that I found the real deal. And I'm no longer just trying to spice up death. Do you know Christ as your Savior this morning? Are you looking for another spice? Listen, if the spice in your life hadn't given you life yet, you think the next one's going to really? Why don't you try Jesus Christ out and see if you won't get satisfied? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believer, I wonder what kind of messenger you are in the graveyard. I wonder if when you go to your work or your school or your neighborhood or your church or your youth group, if you're someone different, or are you just eating the spices like everybody else? Digging around in a tomb for spices. It's the best the world can do. Walking around in a dead man's tomb. You know, it's ironic the way the Holy Spirit put this book. I was forced to read the Quran cover to cover, having all these Muslim students in our house. Led one to Christ, by the way, baptized her not too long ago. But you talk about anemic compared to this book. You know what this book said? It said, in the garden there was a sepulcher. You know, the first Adam, he died in a garden. The last Adam, he came to life in a garden. If you're looking for life, you're never going to find it down here. It's like eating spices. He's not here. He's risen. Amen.